chapter 8. Do I have to live holy and perfect? When I was in the false church system, I was told that God did not see me in my sin. As long as I, quote, believed, I was told God only saw Jesus and his, quote, finished work on the cross. I was told Jesus made me perfect. I was told Jesus imputed his righteousness to me no matter what. When I first read that I had to live perfect to make it to heaven and I would be judged by my works, I was so broken. Why? I realized that I was heading to hell and so many people that were supposed to guide and care for me were hellbound, bold-faced liars. Please stay with me here. First, it's imperative to biblically define perfection according to the Bible. Teleos, which is used in Romans 12:2, 1 Corinthians 13:10, and James 1:17, and Matthew 5:48, and 1 John 4:18, and Colossians 4:12, etc. It's an adjective, means brought to its end, finished, perfect, brought to completeness. Amen? Strong's definition. It says, from G5056, completeness, a full age, perfect. The next word perfect in the Bible is epitalepto. It's used in Romans 15:28, 2 Corinthians 7:1, 2 Corinthians 8 verses 6 and 11, Galatians 3:3, Philippians 1:6, etc. It's a verb. It means to bring to an end, to accomplish, to perfect, to execute, complete. Strong's definition from the Greek says to complete, to conclude, to accomplish, to make an end, to fill up, to finish. The next word for perfection in the Bible is teletois, used in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. It's a noun. It means to be brought to an end, finish, wanting nothing necessary to completeness, perfect, that which is perfect. Strong's definition also says a full age, perfect. The next word in the Bible used for perfection is hapas, as in 1 Timothy 1:16, Acts 5:17, Mark 8:25, etc. It is an adjective. It means in the Strong's definition, every, the whole, everyone, thoroughly, whatsoever, whosoever. The next one is tell you, is used in John 4:34, 5:36, 17:4, Acts 20:24, Hebrews 7:19, 1 John 2:5, Hebrews 2:10, 5:9, 7:28, 9:9, 10:1, 11:20, and 12:33, etc. It's a verb. It means to make perfect, complete, to carry through completely, to accomplish, to finish, to bring to an end, to complete, to be found perfect. Strong's definition. Again, to consecrate, to finish, to fulfill, to make perfect. The next word in the Bible we use for perfection is katizario, used in 1 Peter 5:10. To be fit, sound, complete, to strengthen, to perfect. Matthew 5:48 says, quote, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. Perfect? That's end quote. Perfect in this present world? Really? When we define perfect in the terms that would make it impossible for us to emulate, then of course it's impossible for us to, quote, be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, end quote. However, Jesus still commands us to be ye perfect. Now, you could call Christ a liar in commanding a Christian to be perfect, but that would be disingenuous and damning. Or, you can search for the answer to what he truly meant. When God tells us to, quote, buy truth, then he is telling us that truth will cost us everything. Therefore, we must be willing to, quote, pay the price for truth, and we must, quote, count the cost. We know that Jesus would never give us a command that one could not choose to fulfill. He would never set a standard that we could not attain. if we truly wanted to. Surely we can be, quote, perfect as our Heavenly Father in heaven is perfect, end quote. Will we ever be perfect in that we know all that is knowable like God does? No, of course not. Will we ever be perfect in that we will have the power to do all that is doable as He does? No, we will never be that kind of perfect. Yet, we still can be perfect just like our Heavenly Father commanded. Remember, we are to walk as Jesus walked. Reference 1 John 2:6, which we've already read. How is this achieved? God conducts Himself in a way where He uses all His knowledge and all His abilities in a benevolent manner. The scripture tells us that God is love, agape love, that He chooses the highest good of His creation. The perfection that Christ requires of each of us is that we do the same, that we love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we love others as we love ourselves. And we do that based on the amount of knowledge, light, and ability each of us currently possesses. How do we love Him? By, quote, keeping His commandments. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, quote, if you love Me, keep My commandments, end quote. Only when we keep Jesus' commandments are you His friend. John chapter 15, verse 14 says, quote, you are My friends if you do whatsoever I command you, end quote. When God commands you to love Him with all your heart, that all is based on your knowledge and ability. That is the same perfection of heart that He has. And as our knowledge and ability grow, then our all changes likewise. Your all in the future may be well different than your all today, and my all is different than your all. Yet in this manner, each of our perfection is exactly the same as our Heavenly Father. I pray you understand that of course we can be, quote, perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus never would have commanded us to be perfect if we didn't have the ability to obey Him. It is a perfection of the heart, a perfection of the ultimate intention of our heart, to do the very best we know with the amount of ability we have. All willful sinning must stop at repentance. So commands like, quote, go and sin no more, and, quote, be ye perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, now make total sense. It's the standard that Christ set for those who would choose to follow Him, for those who would be His true disciples. He has called us all to be His disciples. That's normal Christianity, not the, quote, we sin every day in thought, word, and deed, end quote, the wicked wolves in the false church preach. Sadly, many honor Him with their lips, but their heart is far from Him. The doctrines of men are preached from these pulpits of damnation. Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 9 says, quote, He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. Howbeit in vain do they worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things you do. And He said unto them, fully well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. End quote. Let's make this clear. I have never said that I have never sinned. I have never said that I couldn't sin in the future. I have never said that I have not sinned since becoming a Christian. To my shame, I have in the past, and it took me 6 years to wake up and to come back to Christ in bitter repentance, as I explained in the beginning of this book. If I did not truly repent, I would have ended up in hell, and still can, if I don't abide in Christ continually. I'm simply declaring that I am living holy right now and will strive, which means agonize, to never sin again. Luke chapter 13, verse 24 says, quote, strive, which means agonize, fight, labor, to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say, you will seek to enter in and shall not be able, end quote. we will clearly be judged by what we do, by our works, which are our fruit. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 says, quote, little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he, Jesus, is righteous, end quote. I'm righteous in two ways. My past sins have been forgiven, and I'm obeying God right now. I'm an obedient child of God living holy. The question is, are you? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16 says, quote, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, end quote. Noah was a, quote, just man and perfect, end quote. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9 says, quote, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God, end quote. You must, quote, overcome and keepeth my works to make it into heaven, so saith the Lord. Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 through 28 says, quote, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken into shivers. Even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star, end quote. I want to end this chapter by rebuking a false doctrine that is perpetuated in the Main Street Church today. It's the lie of unconditional imputed righteousness, a doctrine that states Jesus imputes his righteousness to you no matter what, as long as you, quote, believe. This is a perfect doctrine for all the deceived, saved sinners in the, quote, church today. In the Bible, perfect means maturity, lacking nothing necessary to completeness. Consummate human integrity and virtue. It does not mean godlike perfection, but it does mean a heart of perfect devotion towards God, walking in full obedience. The principle, quote, no one is perfect, is not found in the pages of Scripture. Basically, this frivolous excuse was devised by the notion that God requires total and absolute perfection from man, and since no human can achieve such a thing, Christ had to show up on the scene, live a perfect life without sinning, and then offer himself as a provision in man's place to satisfy God, so he would no longer see, quote, sinful man, but only Christ in his place. Man, quote, just had to, quote, believe in this provision to be avowed, quote, perfect in Christ, even though he remains wretched to the core. This is the basic premise of, quote, Christian belief in the world today. This is the lie of unconditional imputed righteousness, a great absurdity not found anywhere in the Bible. The reason it's accepted with open arms among present-day, quote, believers is they all have been convinced, illogically, that everyone is born a sinner, saved in sin, and can never stop sinning. Therefore, if they were to actually consider what the Bible says about perfection, sin, and purity of heart as truth, they would be terrified out of their wits. Their comfortable, quote, best life now would have to come to an end. Imagine what this would mean to them. No, quote, fornicating Christians, no drunken Christians, no Christians living in lust and filthiness of the flesh, no smoking Christians, no Sunday morning only Christians. That would empty out the ranks of professed believers in short order. In fact, this has happened a few times that I know personally. One instance was a church with 100 plus members that was being taught these godless fallacies, including unconditional imputed righteousness. Years after he started the church, the pastor finally came around to the truth and started to preach the real gospel that saves from sin. The church shut its doors just a few months after this message was preached, as the, quote, saved sinners were just that, sinners heading to hell. They did not want to truly repent and walk as Jesus walked. If a, quote, believer actually had to, quote, work out their own salvation in fear and trembling, end quote, as Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 states, and make their, quote, calling and election sure in Christ, as 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says, by putting forth a genuine effort to add to their faith, it would be the end of fantasy land for a lot of people. Instead of constantly telling the people they are nothing more than poor, helpless, quote, sinners saved by grace, the preacher would actually have to, quote, present every man perfect in Christ. Listen closely. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 says, quote, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, end quote. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 says, quote, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, end quote. And finally, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, quote, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, end quote. Contrary to the false belief most professed believers are under, the Bible actually requires a Christian to, quote, renew your mind and prove that which is good, end quote. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 states, quote, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, end quote. The common excuse of everyone sinning daily in thought, word, and deed is a deadly fallacy among the professed. These people live in constant defeat because they have never truly repented or strived to enter the narrow gate, dug deep to lay a firm foundation in Christ, or counted the cost of discipleship, as we see in 2 Corinthians 7:10 and 11, Matthew 7:14, Luke 6:48, also Luke 13:24, and Luke 14:28. If they had, their hearts would have been made truly pure by obedience to the truth and the purging blood of Christ, as we see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, and Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. They say it's, quote, prideful or, quote, self-righteous to claim a, quote, departure from iniquity, which 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 clearly says, or to have, quote, deeds met for repentance, Acts 26:20, and their, quote, eyes opened from darkness to light in Acts 26:18. It's amazing they shun a person as one who is seeking to self-justify if they actually obey Christ, stop sinning, and do what is right by the Master who commands us to, quote, go and sin no more, as in John chapter 4, verses 14, and chapter 8, verses 11. Do you believe the same thing? Most of you don't even believe what Jesus said is possible. I pray you change your heart and mind on this today and repent. Your eternal life depends on it, and I truly care deeply for your soul.